Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Good morning, everyone, PJEFC family, friends and brothers and sisters, all those who are here for the first time, second time, third time, whatever, welcome to PJEFC, to our family. So this morning, I'm here to bring you God's Word. I remember last year, about this time, I was here giving you the first sermon. And did you know, for that sermon, Pastor Alexa gave me 18 months notice. That's 1.5 years. For this sermon, she gave me 6 months notice. So I think got improvement, huh? Anyway, my topic today is just keep swimming. I got a cute one. Just keep swimming. What is it about and what has it got to do with the pursuit of wisdom? Let's watch this to get you into the mood.
Wow, Dusty.
The mask, where's the mask? No, the mask. Get it, get the mask, get the mask, get it.
Woohoo! La, just keeps going on, doesn't it? Echo! Hey, what you doing?
It's gone. I've lost the mask.
Where'd you drop it?
You dropped it! That was my only chance of finding my son. Now it's gone!
Hey, Mr. Grumpy Gills.
When life gets you down, you know what you gotta do?
I don't wanna know what you gotta do.
Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Swimming, swimming. What do? We swim. Swim.
Dory, no singing.
Dory. I love to swim in.
Dory.
When you want to swim, you want
see,
to
see, I'm going to get stuck now with that song. Now it's in my head.
Sorry.
So, again, what has this got to do with the pursuit of wisdom? Now, in this clip, you saw Marlene going out to look for his son, Nemo. Trying to find his son, to rescue the son. And Dory, the fish with the short-term memory, is swimming with him to get Nemo. So let me offer you 2 points and a few sub-points to my sermon today. First, the swim, and then the swimmer. Right. So the swim. The Apostle Paul has the imagery of the race. And then Miley Cyrus has the climb. We have the swim. So what is this swim? So I'm referring to the path of wisdom that we swim in this life versus the path of folly. So I'm supposed to persuade you to choose the path of wisdom. Actually, it's a no-brainer. Who wants to choose the path of folly? Everybody wants to choose the path of wisdom. But Often, we travel on the path of folly without even realizing it. Now let's look at the path of wisdom. What does it look like? How does the wise live? What is wisdom anyway? I know Elder Yifong has gone through this wisdom thing in the first sermon, but let's do some revision. Make sure you pass. So wisdom is different from knowledge. It's definitely different from intellect or intelligence. Have you heard a saying? He has so many degrees, he has no temperature. Let me share with you a story. When I was a young girl, as a Christian, my Christian friends and I, we came across this verse in James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So at that time, we were quite naive. We thought wisdom is intelligence. So we said, very easy, let us pray for our exam, that God will give us wisdom. Did it work? Well, remember Pastor Alexa? She said for her Form 6, she did history, and she got an A, right? Form 6, I also did history. I got an E. Unfortunately, the E is not excellent. It's more like F, which is not fantastic. Yeah. But 3 years ago, I decided to take up a course in theology because my children were all grown up. I thought I should just do some studies to equip myself. And in the first year, we also have history. It is church history. And for that, no need to pray lah. That time, smarter already. I mean, praying is part of our life lah, because praying is breathing, right? But anyway, I really put my heart and soul in my assignment. I did work very hard. And when I got the results, it's an E again. But this time, it's excellent. Really excellent one. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now I can tell Pastor Alexa, I also got excellent. Excellent is like an A, because that's how we are graded. Excellent, and then very good, good, then sound, and then pass, fail, something like that lah. So, work very hard, got an excellent. Yeah. Basic definition of wisdom. We all know is doing or saying the right things at the right time. That's a basic definition, right? Let me test you. Who said this? And don't Google, don't cheat. Right, who said this? Do not do to others what you do not want them to do to you. Is it Mahatma Gandhi, Jesus, Nelson Mandela, Confucius? It could be Justin Bieber. You never know, no? Our singers, they are quite smart one. Right, but that's a clue already. So who do you think said this? Lai Xiong, who said this? Okay, make a guess. Who said this? Jesus? Hey, did you Google? All right, it is Confucius. But it sounded like Jesus, right? Because Jesus did say something like this 5 centuries after Confucius said this. But Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, do to others, not do not. Turn it around, give it a positive spin. Do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So we have common wisdom, and there is godly wisdom or biblical wisdom. And that's what we are going to talk about. Because Proverbs, it is actually all about godly wisdom. So godly wisdom has been defined as the ability to make godly choices in life, and that's the very basic thing. Number two, the capacity to see things from God's viewpoint and respond according to the principles of Scripture. Or three, which is what I like, a matter of orientation to God, out of which comes the ability to please Him. That's by the Old Testament and the New Testament theologians in this book, How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. And that is the definition that I like. It's an orientation towards God, moving towards God. So anything on the path that you do on the path of wisdom orientates us or moves us towards God. So questions. What does a wise person moving on the path of wisdom look like? It helps. It always helps me to contrast. It helps me to see clearly. So from the 3 passages given to me, I have picked out some points to see what a person who is wise looks like and what a person who is foolish looks like. So let's look at this. If you can see, yeah, good. On the left? Yes, left. Just give you a few seconds to quickly run through. These are from the 3 passages and from somewhere else in the Bible. And these are just a sample. There are so many contrasts between the wise and the foolish. Let's look at some example. The prudent, 14 verse 8, Proverbs 14 verse 8, the prudent or the wise understand where they are going, but fools deceive themselves. So wise people know where they are going, understand what to do, and do it. So for example, if a wise person has done something wrong, he knows immediately what to do, which is confess, repent, and plead God's mercy not to repeat the mistake. So an example of this in the Bible is David and his adultery with Bathsheba. When confronted by Nathan, what did he do? He was full of remorse, he repented, he confessed, his sin of, firstly, adultery, Bathsheba, and secondly, arranging for her husband to be killed. And then we have Psalm 51, the beautiful psalm that he wrote, pleading for God's mercy. So David was a fool on the path of wisdom to commit a sin, but he was wise to recognize his sin and repent. But fools, they don't even know that they have done wrong. Or when they have done wrong, they rationalize away the sin. And I think of the many hardened politicians in our midst. When they do wrong, they rationalize away their wrongdoing. Looks like me, sounds like me, smells like me, but it's not me. We hear this often, right? Another example, Proverbs 14, verse 9. Fools make fun of guilt, but the godly acknowledge it and seek a reconciliation. So foolish people, they don't care about their sin, if they sin, as long as they get to their destination, which is usually pride, glory, wealth, and etc. But wise people work at being right with God and with others. So you're most probably saying, I'm not too bad, lah. I'm not on the left. I'm maybe not on the right, but I'm somewhere in the middle. So the question is, which way are you moving towards? Are you always moving a step to the right in the path of wisdom? Yes. So now from the swim, the path of wisdom, we now move to the swimmer, you and me. We are all swimmers. And the thing is, actually, I'm not a swimmer, not like Hera, national level swimmer, right? But I probably won't drown. But I suppose when we are swimming in the ocean, you need to be really strong and wise. You need to be strong to swim against the current, with the current, in polluted water, in clean water, to avoid predators, to befriend good creatures. In other words, you need to be strong and wise. And so it is in this world. We need to be strong and wise to swim against the current of popular opinions, worldly temptations, peer pressure. We need to be strong and wise. So how do I become strong and wise? So 3 points and some sub-points. First, in the Bible, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of God is your starting point. We know that it's not the fear, the terror fear that you feel. Some people describe it as reverence and respect. But one theologian said it's somewhere in the middle between terror, positive terror, and reverence for God. Now, Proverbs 14 verse 2 says, whoever fears the Lord walks uprightly, but those who despise him are devious in their ways. When you fear the Lord, you will walk rightly, or at least you will want to walk rightly. But does it mean that walking the path of wisdom is always free from mistakes? That you never stumble, you never fall because you're wise? Of course not. The story of David and Bathsheba is a good example. But he had Nathan the prophet who walked with him. And Nathan guided him back to the path of wisdom. And this brings me to my next point. Who do you walk with? Let's look at Proverbs 13 verse 20. Wait. Yes, is that the one? Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Those who associate with wise people will become wise, and those who associate with fools will become foolish themselves. What kind of people do you always hang out with? I mean, I know most of you, I mean, some still working, right? You have no choice but to be with your colleagues. But in your free time, who do you choose to hang out with? Now, there was a man. He was visiting his classmate, old classmate that he has not met for years. So while having lunch with his classmate at the classmate's home, he saw the son of this classmate. And he noticed that the son is just like the father. And after that, he told his classmate, well, your son are like a chip off the old block, just like you. His mannerisms, the way he talk, he looks even like his father. And then his classmate told him, actually, we adopted him when he was young. But through the years of growing together, spending time together, that son took on the resemblance of the father. Recently, I was watching this documentary, Undercover Asia. It's about plastic surgery in China. Now, you think Korea is the country for plastic surgery. No, actually, China is a big, big booming thing. So it's talking about the trends of plastic surgery. And they interviewed several young people and interviewed this young girl. She and her colleagues talk of nothing but what is the next plastic surgery to do. She was going for an interview to be a sales rep. And so she said, I got to fix my nose. And she has already fixed her nose, but she got to fix it again. So who you mix with will influence what kind of person you are. I have a friend, she used to mingle a lot with a group of Thai Thai, because she herself is well off. All their husbands are specialists, medical professionals working in a private hospital. And so their wives spend their money. So she said every morning, from morning tea to lunch, and then to afternoon tea, they are together practically every day. And they are well off, they have the money, so shop, 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 shop. What is the latest thing to buy? At that time, flip-flop shoes were the latest craze. You know, flip-flop, one pair costs about 300 to 400 ringgit, right? And she told me, at one time, she had 7 pairs of flip-flop shoes. And I thought, I don't mind having one pair, right? Who you mix with, they will influence you. I remember last week, Wilik shared about his association with this pastor who became his mentor, and he was transformed by that. So who do you hang out in your free time? And given a choice, who would you like to spend time with during your free time? Especially for us seniors, we have the time. Who do you hang out with? That actually matters a lot. Questions. Are the people you're moving, you are associating with, mingling, are they moving you towards God or are they moving you away from God? Choose the path of wisdom. Of course, my recommendation is that to have godly wisdom, please hang out with people who are orientating themselves towards God. People who will move you towards God. One of my favorite verses, Hebrews 10:25, says, let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. So swim or walk with people who are moving on the path of wisdom and moving you towards God. Third, what are the things you immerse yourself in that you spend your time doing? Do these things move you towards God or away from God? I recommend you immerse yourself in the things of God. Listen to sermons from godly, theologically sound preachers, because there are many preachers out there. Sometimes you're not sure their theology is right or not. So what must you do? Primarily, read and study God's word for yourself. Now, the Bible is God's primary way of revealing himself to humanity. Of course, God reveals himself in many other ways, through nature, through our minds, our reasoning. But the Bible is still God's main source of God's revelation. And when I was growing up, there was a very popular four-letter acronym. I don't know whether it's popular now, but it was WWJD. It stands for What Would Jesus Do? But I always thought, how would you know what Jesus would do if you don't know Him? If you don't know His mind, His heart, what He likes, how can you say, what would Jesus do? I think Jesus would do this. I think Jesus would do that. This father, he went with his son to a restaurant. When he got to the restaurant, the waiter said, Uncle, what you want? And the father said, you ask my son. He knows what I like. Do you know what Jesus like? Have you spent enough time with him to know what he would do? Let me tell you a story or so. I think it happened about maybe 15 years ago. I have this friend. I think she was in her mid to late 40s. And she was very, very anxious and very kanchong. And so she told me, she said, I think I'm pregnant, you know. Okay. Not a good age to get pregnant, lah, because you're, yeah. And she had already two grown-up daughters. But then she said, her daughter told her, Mom, don't worry, you won't get pregnant one, because God loves you. He won't let this happen to you. So when she told me that, I think, does she know her biology or not? It's like me saying, I can eat all the food I want and not get fat. That would be a dream for someone who gets fat just thinking of food. But how well do you know Jesus if you don't read the Bible for yourself? When we are filled with God's Word, we will see the world through the lens of Scripture. And you won't be easily swayed by public opinion, by your peer pressure, by people who say this and that. I'd like to share a personal testimony with you. So, John, my husband and I, we have three sons. And one of them identifies himself as gay. Right? So, I think it's an open secret, a lot of people know. But now it's open and no more secret. And that's because he himself came out on social media to announce his homosexuality. So, when he first came out to us, I was thinking, how can God? He was born into this church, dedicated as a baby, baptized at 12 years old, so actively involved in church, some more impact president under Pastor Alexa. Wow, I said, Lord, how can? And I said, we raise our boys to be manly, to be, I'm not saying that gays are not manly, yeah? So, I know I'm trading on dangerous ground. But my point is, at that time, I was saying, Lord, maybe your word is not right. Maybe I misinterpreted your word wrongly. So I have to search the scripture for myself, right? And so, come to it, last year, one of my assignments, we have to do a project where we have to do a survey. And I chose, it was between death and dying, or homosexuality. And then, death and dying, that's another story. But then, somebody told me, do what's in your heart. I said, okay, homosexuality is in my heart. And I wanted to know what scripture really says about homosexuality. So I know some of you got my survey and you responded, thank you so much. Some of you got my survey, didn't respond. Never mind, I still love you. But, just to let you know, for that assignment, I also got excellent. Some more highest mark also. And that's about it all. Not every assignment like that one. Wait, you think I'm so clever? No, I'm not. Just because I was so passionate with this assignment, and I wanted to know what scriptures say. And I got my answer. I settled it in my heart. I know that years ago, my son asked me, Mom, why did God make me like this? I think he was so conflicted. He was also suicidal. And when he came out on Facebook and all the other social media platforms, he said He would pray every night before going to sleep. He will ask God to make him just like his two kokor. In the morning when he wake up, he is like them, straight as arrows. But he said it didn't happen. And so he threw himself into this. He said, God has made me like this. How do I answer him that? Scripture has the answer. This is not the place to talk about this, but I'm just giving you an example that we need to know scripture for ourselves. And he also asked me, Mom, if I get married to his boyfriend, will you come to my wedding? How would you answer? I've thought about it for a few years, and I've decided, I've come to a decision, and it's based on my scriptural reflection. If you want to know, you ask me later. Professor Dr. John Lennox, the former professor of mathematics in Oxford, he said this one thing. I was watching him on YouTube, one of the videos. He said, one of the saddest things in his life is seeing Christians climbing up the professional ladder, up, 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 up. But their knowledge of the Bible is Sunday school level. What is your level of Bible knowledge? Is it still at Sunday school level, impact level, CUG level, or are you progressing in the knowledge of God's word? I'm not here to bash you up, but please don't think that I am. I love you all. But, you know, to be able to swim the path of wisdom, to swim it well, we ought to know scripture. So, what do we immerse our thoughts in? Sports, world politics, economics, social media. A lot of us are immersed in social media. I know of friends who are addicted to Facebook. Facebook means, you know, that they are quite old already. Yale Medicine says this, I got this off the internet, and this not any blog, but it's Yale Medicine says, according to a research study of American teens, ages 12 to 15, those who use social media over 3 hours each day face twice the risk of having negative mental health outcomes, including depression and anxiety symptoms. These are adolescents, but it affects adults too. I was on Facebook, it affected me because I would see all these posts of my friends, well, go on nice holiday, go to fancy restaurant. I have one particular friend, well, she will, every other day, she will post something that she's doing with her husband. Wow, for example, she was piggybacking her husband. Husband was on the back, and the post says what? He ain't heavy, he's my brother. And then the next day, another one, she's painting his toenails. Oh, just having fun. So another time, photo of her husband reading the Bible. And then the post there, digging deep into God's word. And then the husband is always taking her to nice restaurant, nice holiday. After a while, I say, what's wrong with my husband? We think like that. Where does he take me? Coffee shop lah. Or Oasis Food Court, Taman Mayang Jaya. Even better lah. Good mood means go to where? Starling Mall, Foodies Nest. And then I see other posts. Wow, my son give me a treat at a nice fancy restaurant. After that, my daughter give me a treat. I say, what's wrong with my children? I go out with them, I have to pay for them some more. But is the problem with my husband or my children? For the record, my husband is not bad. He's a good man. But we agree that the... Yeah, he deserves a clap. Yes. Yeah. All husbands here deserve, even those who take you to coffee shop, all right? But we agree that the best food is in the coffee shop. That's why we go coffee shop, and they don't charge you an arm or leg for that, right? You go to a nice fancy restaurant, the same food, maybe not so good, but they charge you 3, 4, 5 times. Nice ambience though, but it's okay. How about TikTok? I promise I'll talk about this. Did you know there's such a thing called TikTok brain? Real thing, it refers to decreased attention span. And I got this from the Richmond Journal of Law and Technology. So serious business. Huh? So it says, emerging research suggests that watching short-form videos make it difficult for children to engage in activities that don't offer instant gratification. Bringing on an endless stream of 15 to 30 second long videos slashes our attention span like no other type of media can do. This one is really talking about TikTok. I'm not here to bash TikTok either, but if you're immersed in TikTok, watch out for this. Short-term memory and the ability to concentrate are also affected. So devoted TikTokers report that they are unable to focus on longer video formats anymore. 50% of users admit that they find longer videos stressful. Other social platforms begin to feel slow and boring compared to this fast-paced app that serves new content at the flick of one's thumb. Are you immersed in? I think our young generation, not only are they are these videos reshaping the brain, it is also affecting and influencing our attitude. And it's not just TikTok videos. It is also YouTube video, short one, which I admit I sometimes doom scroll like nobody's business, and then I realize, wow, 1 hour has passed already. Okay, no more. Something like that. I'm also guilty of that. If you are spending a lot of time and not able to control what you're immersed in, what do? Cut it off your life. Which is actually what I've done. I've cancelled Facebook. Cut it off from your life so that you can immerse yourself in the things of God. I'd like you to watch this video. I think a lot of you have watched this, but never mind, let's watch this. Okay, here we go. Funny, isn't it? And I noticed you all laugh. So of course I laughed when I saw it. But did you get the underlying message? Yeah. What's the underlying message? Children are a nuisance, so use protection. I have nothing against condom, by the way. Yeah? All right. But think about the message. So if you're able to pick that up, it shows probably that you have been immersing yourself in God's Word. What does God's Word say about children? Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Of course, children are a lot of work, lah. Sometimes they are a nuisance, but they are precious. And Psalm 139 says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb." There are no bad children, some say. So, only bad parents, right? And I want to affirm that children are precious. They are a lot of work, but they are worth all the sleepless night. But with videos such as the one that you saw just now, it's no wonder that our young people, they don't want children. We discussed this in our cell group last Friday, and quite a number of our cell group members say, yeah, the nephew like that, the niece also say like that. I say, my son say that, don't expect children from us, huh? Okay? And then sometimes when you go out into the in the park or the shopping mall, and you see, oh, couples pushing a baby pram. And I always like to look because I love babies. Huh? And then when I look inside, what do I see? Wow, you also know lah. Dogs. They would rather have dogs than babies. Because dogs live only about 15 years lah. Babies, wow, forever. Right? Let scripture dictate your actions. Look at things through the lens of scripture. Now in America, there's a movement called My Body, My Choice movement. I think I'm sure you all know what it is. It is from the pro-choice group versus the pro-life. So basically, pro-choice, they give out free abortion because it's my body, my choice. And the pro-life try to stop that. There's this clash going on. And the pro-choice movement has gone into overdrive. Now it is called anti-pro-life. Not only is it pro-choice, it's anti-pro-life. So they encourage abortions and they give it free of charge. Recently, I had a conversation with a young woman who just got pregnant. She's married, by the way. And she said that now that she is pregnant, she views abortion differently. So this is what she said. I have a clearer understanding of it now from a mother's perspective. Before this, it was such a foreign concept, and they often use these medical terms so that you don't feel like it's a human at all. Talking about the baby, yeah? Within the womb. What stunned me was how human babies look and feel even after just a few weeks in the womb. And I can't imagine having to make that decision to end the life and then call it a simple medical procedure and a clump of cells. So they refer to the baby fetus. You kind of like medical term, you know, it's not a baby, it's a fetus. It's a clump of cells. How do you view issues like this? Do you view them through the lens of scripture? Because we're talking about the path of wisdom. But I'm not here to talk about abortion. My emphasis here is the My Body, My Choice slogan that has been pushed down children's throat. Imagine young teens who are becoming sexually aware and they hear this again and again. It's indoctrinated to them. My body, my choice. Nobody has a right to tell me what I want to do. And that includes if I get pregnant, it's my choice to just abort it. What does scripture say? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says this. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. So as Christians, we know that whatever we have, it belongs to God in the first place, including our body. We don't own it. God gives our body to us as gifts, and we are just the stewards. So we take care of this body so that God is glorified. So how about my body, His choice, God's choice? Or about my body for His glory. And I thought of another one. My body, His property. It rhymes lah. But I said, no lah, property. You think my body is a real estate? No. So, my body for His glory. My body, His choice. You know, especially for us seniors, I like to talk to seniors because this is where I am right now at the current state of my life. As seniors, you know, our bodies, we're not as strong as young people. And sometimes you say, yeah, what can I do? There's much that we can do, a lot, if we want to do for the Lord. There is. Just surrender your body, weak as it is, to the Lord, for Him to use. Just a fun fact about church history, because I did my paper on this. One of the factors of the early church growth is this. The Christians picked up abandoned babies from the street. In those days, they don't have things like abortion, right? So they give birth. And they will dump the babies, they will keep the boys. So babies are literally abandoned on the streets. And the Christians, new Christians, transform. They will pick up the babies and they will look after and care for the babies. And that is one of the reasons for the church growth explosion then. Because these Christians, they now realize that these babies, whether full-term baby or babies in the womb, they belong to God. They are made in God's image. But you know what? If any one of us in our midst has had an abortion out of convenience or out of fear or whatever, there is forgiveness at the cross. Please come to the cross. Jesus will forgive and restore you. Also, if there's any one of us struggling with same-sex attraction issues or gender identity issues, you know, reach out to the pastors, to the leaders. Talk to someone. Do not walk this path alone. You know, when I was struggling with my son's homosexuality issue, I have my cell group. I have Hera, Dr. Hera Lukman, who actually helped me make sense of this whole thing in a very loving, godly way. There are people who walk with me, and I walk with the right crowd. And I'm very, very, very grateful to them. If you are a parent and you have children who are going through issues, same-sex attraction, homosexuality, lesbian, transgender issue, or any other issue that you feel is so displeasing to God, reach out to somebody. Reach out to the pastors, to the leaders, and find this community of support. You can talk to me when it comes to gay issue. I've become quite experienced about this. So, conclude. What do you immerse yourself in? When I ask these questions, I don't mean that you should cut off Facebook, lah, cut off everything, cut until nothing left, except your husband, your cell group, and church, nothing else. But the important thing is the people that you mingle with, the things that you're immersed in, are they moving you towards God? Or are they moving you away from God? Now, we don't become foolish or wise overnight. It happens slowly, gradually, through the influences in our lives, the people we hang out with, the things we immerse ourselves in. We slowly become foolish or wise. As the worship team comes up, our choices chart the path of our life. I repeat this. Our choices chart the path of our life. So choose the path of wisdom, because the path of wisdom is the path of life, the abundant life that God gives. So may we be immersed in the things of God, primarily in the Word of God, the ways of God, the people of God, so that we can swim strong and not be swept away by the currents of popular opinion, false teaching, peer pressure, and temptation. I've chosen this last song, one of my favorite songs. May you make this song your prayer and my prayer. Thank you.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, make disciples.